This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, so much for the idea that Matt Rhule is going to be up for any of the big-time jobs like LSU. Not to say that where he isn't a big-time job. Whatever, but Matt Rhule just signed a contract extension with Nebraska, 2-year deal. The extension includes an increase in Rhule's buyout this season to $15 million from $5 million. So they're trying to take care of their own situation, too.
So I guess you can rule him out.
You can rule him out. That was too easy, Mike. You're better. But we don't say.
You don't say be better?
We don't say it. So that would pretty much kind of eliminate him from taking another job, at least in this cycle. Rhule and his family's happiness at Nebraska, where he's in his third year as head coach, was the primary driver behind him agreeing to a new deal. Per ESPN sources, Nebraska is 6-2 this season. And Rhule led the program to its first bowl game since the 2016 year, last year.
I wish his name was O'Doyle-Rhule.
I mentioned the Avalanche signed forward Martin Natchez to an 8-year contract extension. That's another big one. Good news for Avs fans. He's playing like their, third best player. At times, he feels like he's the best player on the ice. But that was a priority for the Avalanche. They got a deal done in the second season of a 2-year bridge deal that was worth $6.5 million annually. Now his new contract will see around $11.5 million. That's a big contract extension. I mean, wasn't that the money they were trying to give Mikko? That was kind of the Avalanche were in that territory with Mikko Rantanen. And obviously, he moved. He wanted out. And it made sense for the Avs. Ultimately worked out. Now, I know with the Stars and Mikko and everything, that was still fresh in everybody's mind, but this was the right move. Mikko went to Carolina, and then a second trade would later see the Hurricanes ship him to the Avs, one of their biggest rivals at the time, at this current time, to the Dallas Stars.
And now we hate him.
Kind of. I think so. Yeah, kind of.
It's okay to hate in sports.
Hey, sports hate. Yeah, sports hate's okay. So, according to ESPN, receiving Marty Natchez in return created the belief that the Avs could use him as Rantanen's replacement as their top-line right winger. But his arrival quickly, man. I mean, he scored 11 goals and 28 points in 30 games for the Avs as a part of that season that they made all those moves to kind of save their season, and he was a big part of that. He finished with 27 goals and a career-high 83 points. I mentioned earlier, he is in the, top 20? Tied for 18, I think, in points so far this season. I mean, he's rolling. His 7 goals right now are second on the Avs, while his 13 points are third behind Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. Very important guy. So now they have 9 players who are under contract for more than 3 years. Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, Valerie Nichushkin, Devon Taves, Brock Nelson, and Mackenzie Blackwood. Cale Makar has 2 years left on his contract. You have to imagine that's coming up fairly soon, I suppose. But Good job by the Avs, man. Just keep doing the right things. Hornets LaMelo Ball fined $35,000 for flipping off referee in a loss. Flipped him off. He's fined $35K for that, for making an obscene gesture on the court during their 144-117 loss to the Miami Heat. Yeah, it was officiating that caused that one to go south. 144-117. Ball was whistled for an offensive foul on a drive and made the hand gesture after the call and was assessed a technical foul with 4 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter in Miami. Meanwhile, another referee story, and this is why Ed Lamb on Football 52 yesterday was so careful and not wanting to criticize officials, because here's what happened. I don't have a lot of details here, but this is from Tyson Rogers at the Big Sky Conference. The Big Sky Conference has reprimanded Sacramento State football coach Brennan Marion for violating the Big Sky sportsmanship policy. Additionally, he will be issued a $10,000 fine and has been informed that a repeat of such behavior could result in a more severe penalty. Tom Wistrel, I can never say that dude's name, the commissioner, Wistrel of the Big Sky, said, "I want to make it abundantly clear that publicly questioning the integrity of our officials and the conference office will not be tolerated. Professionalism, integrity, and fairness are the foundation of who we are, and all institutional personnel must recognize and the responsibility they carry as examples for our student athletes, campus communities, and the Big Sky Conference. The Big Sky will have no further comment on this matter." Well, I was talking to Ed Lamb, because there's been some rough officiating, especially the last 2 weeks for the Bears. There was the Braden Monroe. Was he in? Was he out? Did he not establish himself back in bounds before that touchdown that would have put the Bears ahead of Sacramento State 2 weeks ago? And then there was the off-ball pass interference calls, offensive pass interference calls, that two of them in that game last week that really stalled drives out. And for Ed to said he was very careful on the podcast, and I asked him to, he said he got a response because he did send something in, a note in to the Big Sky asking for, I guess, more interpretation. Because right now what defensive coordinators are doing is telling their guys, falls, fails, just step in the way of somebody, almost take a charge, and you're going to get an off-ball pass interference call. And he was like, yeah, so I asked for more interpretation on that. I sent it in, and I got a response that I won't go into. And I, of course, followed that up with, was your response, was the response negative? And he said, no, actually, it was very positive. And he had nothing bad to say. So Ed knows. Dude, Football 52 is being listened to. I'm seeing the downloads. You don't think Big Sky officials are listening to Football 52? I think they are. Yeah.
I was just wondering, was it one of those $35,000 fines that he got a response from them? Because I feel like if you have bad officiating and the conference head is like, we're defending our officials, like, the officials are probably, like, super powerful and can walk out at any time and screw you over. So, of course, they're going to get behind their officials. Not saying that that this is happening in the Big Sky. Just saying it probably happens.
Yeah.
As a guy who's watched the Pac-12 for years and has seen horrible officiating.
The comments that he made, that Marion made to CBS Sacramento, where he suggested that officials were punishing the team for off-the-field commentary from him and from Sac State president Luke Wood. He said, the quote, "People are upset about the comments made, and people obviously want to make us pay for those comments." And the Big Sky didn't like that, Mike. "People are upset about the comments made, and people obviously want to make us pay for those comments." So insinuating that the referees are going after him because of comments made.
I guess he did pay for those comments with money.
Yeah, well, and they're also talking about how Wood called the Grizzlies the Pandas, resulting in last Friday's game between being labeled as the Panda Bowl, referring to Montana as the Pandas. Mm.
Should have been brought to you by Panda Express.
Okay, come on. Come on, man. What are we doing here?
Well, that only makes sense. If you're Panda Express, you'd be like, well, this isn't good time to get our name out
Sac
there.
Sac State is the most penalized team in the Big Sky Conference and is among one of the most penalized team in the nation. It's a lot, man. Number of penalties, 72 in the Big Sky. Penalty yards per game, 71. Second is Idaho State with 51 penalties. So 51 to 72. Northern Colorado is pretty clean, man. They don't commit a whole heck of a lot of penalties, man. What is the old adage? You're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And Northern Colorado is at the bottom of the barrel, and that's a good thing. 35 penalties so far this season, averaging 34.8 penalty yards per game.
Guess Vance Joseph's allowing it to happen.
Vance Joseph?
Yeah.
You mean
the Broncos have a lot of penalties?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Bears, but you went that route. How dare you talk badly about Vance Joseph?
Look, I like Vance Joseph. I loved the hire.
You just derail me.
Right there.
Just derail me. The Broncos, since losing that Miami game, they are 18-16. I want to say 18-16 since losing that Miami game. How about that? No. I didn't count this year. So they're 24-18 since that Miami debacle. And Miami's, of course, they kind of went backwards. So sometimes those games, yeah, everybody, pitchforks were out. Everybody was wanting somebody gone. Oh, the Sean Payton's is not working out. Why did he bring back Vance Joseph? Terrible move by him. Not just on Vance Joseph, but a bad decision by Sean. So credit needs to also be given to Sean Payton, Mike, for staying the course. How many people wanted Vance Joseph fired after that Miami game?
Not me. But probably a large percentage of
you
the
didn't
fan
want
base.
You didn't you there wasn't a part of your brain that wanted to see him gone after that?
No. Because I didn't think that he was responsible for the game.
Boy,
like
was...
I thought the players were responsible, and I thought they needed to go through the roster and say, this guy failed us, this guy failed us, this guy failed us, and punish them accordingly.
That was bad. That was when everyone was like, ooh, Miami. Tyreek Hill had 9 receptions in that game for 157 yards and a touchdown. Devon Achane ran for 203 yards. They ran for 350 yards, and Tua passed for 309 yards in that game. One of the worst games in Broncos, probably the worst game in Broncos history, but we talked about not necessarily the worst loss. The Baltimore Ravens game, I think, still stands up there. Like, in terms of beatdown, yeah. I think that was the worst, but in terms of how the loss made us feel and what it meant, it cost the Broncos the Super Bowl that year because Baltimore went on to win the Super Bowl. So that was certainly one of the worst beatdowns, but not the most sad of losses. That loss to Baltimore was rough.
You know, you got to give it to Vance Joseph because he learned his lesson after that game. He said that he was trying to do defensive coordinating, his plan. He was trying to do things a little differently. And after that game, he realized, I got to go back to my plan, what I really want to do. And he did, and look what's happened to the Broncos' defense. We are number one.
I mean, yeah, we're number one. After that game, they gave up 28 to Chicago, 31 to the Jets. Then it was getting better. 19 to the Chiefs, 17 to the Packers, 9 to the Chiefs. And they gave up 22 to the Bills. I mean, it just got significantly better in that season. And so the quick turnaround was pretty necessary. Now, they finished that season 8-9, but it was Sean Payton's first year. And we all kind of knew it was the beginning of the end, even though Russell Wilson and company beat the Chiefs on October 29th, finally breaking that terrible streak. October 29th, yeah. But the defense just started to get progressively better from that point on, allowing scores like 22, 20, 12, 22, 7. Gave up a bad one to Detroit, but for the most part, pretty solid. And then last season, they were very good until they got into the December month, and that was rough. So it's going to be huge for the Broncos to keep throwing these wins together, because you don't want – it is hard to maintain that high level of defense all year. So being able to win when your defense is playing this well is going to be critical. When you shut down a Dallas offense like that, that was very telling for me. Now, I said, hey, maybe the Broncos are contenders after that win, and I got flack for that because, well, their offense scored against the worst defense. Well, why aren't we talking about what their defense did against, at the time, one of the top offenses in the league? I mean, that's what we should be focusing on. What's going to win Denver's Super Bowl is going to be superior defensive play and Bo connecting on some of those shots and not making bad decisions. That's what's going to win this team the Super Bowl, very much like how they won it in 2015.
Bo, just get us 20 points. 24 points, Super Bowl.
I'm not going to ask you if you really believe, because I know you do. But I think the Giants game was bad. That was rough. But outside of that, I mean, they gave 11. The Jets scored 11. The Eagles scored 17. The Bengals scored 3. I know the Bengals, but still, they got a lot of stud receivers. The Broncos have gone through a gauntlet. Chargers had 23. Colts had 29. And I still looked at those games. Look at the time of possession. Those are very telling. Time of possession and third down efficiency for the Broncos, it's bad. And that's also why your defense is on the field a lot. If you're 2 of 13 or whatever it was against the Chargers, it's just awful. And that's why the Chargers had the ball for 36 minutes and the Broncos had it for whatever. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Brady, referring to those penalties on the Big Sky thing, is there a breakdown offensive versus defensive? I don't have that in front of me. I could probably find that. No, I don't see a breakdown specifically. This is just penalties, penalty yards per game. So I don't have that, but I could maybe dig that up. Faith says maybe they're actually committing those penalties, and maybe they are. They talk a big game, and now they're saying they think they're getting punished for their president and how he talks and things he was saying about Montana, especially in that game.
No, I don't know if the Big Sky is actually punishing them. I've heard from many years that there's some questionable officiating in the Big Sky that may or may not be true, but I think it's Montana who punished Sac State. It's not the ref, it's Montana.
Yeah,
you got blown out.
Was it a blowout?
I think so.
I didn't think it was a blowout. I thought it was kind of a good game for a while.
Let me look at that.
Efforting, Mike, efforting. We'll figure that out. We got to figure that out right now. Let's find out together, shall we? Montana won 49-35.
Not as bad as
that. Not as bad as you thought, but
I knew it was 49 to something. So maybe there were some.
You're right. It was 49 to something. Yeah, they hung in. A rough second quarter defensively for Sacramento State, but that's a team that the Bears took, you know, almost to the brink there, Mike. I'm really interested to see how this season finishes for the UNC Bears, Michael. If they do what you're saying, so if they beat Montana State, which again, I think they are 20-plus point dogs in this game, that's kind of crazy to me.
Bears eat dogs for breakfast.
Will they beat Northern Arizona on the road? That's a ranked team, too. So the Bears are 3-5. Let's reset their record expectation. They got 4 games remaining. Where are we going? You got 4, obviously, you're giving them to Montana State, which maybe. Maybe, Michael.
Brady of little faith.
You're going to make it impossible for me to pick against the Bears tomorrow, because if you're right and I'm wrong on this, Ed might ask you to host Football 52 from now on.
And then we're going to be talking about Star Trek, the Broncos, and Legos.
We would be screwing over the entire listening audience that listens to that show, Football 52, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfk.com if you're curious. And we don't just talk Bears. We talk a lot of different football stuff, and it's really fascinating to hear. Same with the two-man game. We just did that today. Is that ready yet, Mike?
It is not out
yet. It is not out yet. Okay. But that's a fun – both of those guys doing those podcasts with me each and every week. It is it's a lot of fun. Get a lot of insight from those coaches. So, okay, you have them beating Montana State, and you really feel that way.
I do.
So now they're 4-5. Are they beating Northern Arizona? It's on the road.
I don't know how good Northern
they're
Arizona
number 21.
Is.
They're 21. So not as good as Montana State.
Yeah, they could. I don't know. I don't know. That's a question.
Then, well, just yes or no. Come on.
We'll say yes. They beat the spread. I don't know yet.
Oh, okay. So they lose. So we're saying.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
They lose then. 4-6. Do they beat Eastern Washington?
Yes.
5-6. Do they beat Portland State?
Absolutely. Oh, God. Yeah. They pound Portland State.
So they're 6-6.
Portland State is what UNC used to be.
If the
UNC
Bears
will
finish 6-6, that is really, really, that is such
wait, they
a,
have 12 games?
That's a turnaround. Wait, am I wrong on that? Did I do the math wrong here? 6-6? They're at 8, and they have 4 more games remaining. They've played 8 games.
That is true.
So that is the math, Mike. Yeah, they could finish 6-6. I don't know if that's happening, but if they beat Montana State, I don't know that I'm not picking them to beat Northern Arizona. That would be... They're out of the... Are they? They're not out of this race, are they? In the Big Sky, officially? Are they mathematically out? Montana's 4-0 in the conference, and the Bears are 1-3?
Yeah, they're not out yet, but it's close.
Well, beat Montana State.
Montana's going to have to lose a lot.
And I don't know if that's going to... Montana has Weber State this weekend. They'll win that game. Then Eastern Washington, then Portland State. Montana's only going to lose, if they do, one more game, and that would be Montana State.
I'm thinking, here's mm-hmm. my thinking, just as of now, just
okay.
I think UNC beats Eastern Washington, loses to Northern Arizona, because they always struggle with Northern Arizona. I at least going back in my brain, I feel like they always struggle with Northern Arizona. And they beat Portland State. That's my thinking.
That would still be pretty. That would be pretty great.
That's 3-1 the rest of the way.
Yeah, that would be excellent for this Bears team.
And then they're probably going to give me a award over there at UNC.
Well, do you just pick the one? You know, that's you'd be famous for the one.
Well, yeah, but they're going to give me an award for that,
which would
probably
be
like a whole plate of lasagna.
Which probably be you're obsessed with lasagna today. Why,
dude? I love lasagna.
Is that your go-to? Is that your favorite food?
No, but
what are you,
it's,
Garfield?
Of homemade foods, like if someone drops off like any type of homemade food, it's got to be like lasagna is probably close to top of the list.
I like it's fine. It's not like that great. I'm not a big lasagna guy. It's okay.
Dude, I'm totally Garfield over lasagna.
28 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's take a quick break here. But yeah, it's reasonable to believe that the Bears are in that turnaround, that they're going to continue. They're going to continue the rest of the way. I don't know about Montana State. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We'll get to it. I don't know. I got to look at that spread again. Do they have a spread out for that? Tanner thought he saw 20+. We'll get into it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by Chevron. Your lucky day, Mike. Eastside Chris texting in on the first advanced text line. Micah, how is day after lasagna? You okay with that? Day after lasagna.
Well, I love lasagna, period. So, yeah, day after lasagna is great.
You heat it up, right?
No, I don't do that.
You don't heat up the lasagna. That is a, to steal it from Tanner, that is a psychopath type characteristic there.
I mean, I don't use the oven that often because no one wants
me in
the
kitchen. Well, you can
put it in the microwave. No, the microwave, no. That's going to warp it.
You're going to eat it cold?
The only warp belongs in Star Trek.
You're going to eat it cold? Lasagna,
yeah.
cold
Look,
lasagna?
Spaghetti is better cold than warm.
What are we talking about here? Cold? You cannot do cold Italian food.
Yeah, you can.
No.
You can't do cold Italian food bread.
Oh, you do cold spaghetti? I'll do cold pizza. I'll even do cold, like, chicken, like fried chicken. I'll do that cold. That's fine.
I like cold spaghetti because it allows the sauce to soak into the spaghetti. Like overnight, it just soaks in little more.
That's an interesting thought there. But he said he's going to bring by. He said, Chris said, I'm going to bring some. We'll bring some tomorrow morning for Good Morning NoCo and burritos. Are you? Whoa, dude! The Hooligans are the Hall of Famers. They deserve their day. You know,
they do deserve their due.
They do deserve their due. Faith bringing in candy last week. He said, Chris threatening to bring in lasagna for you. And breakfast burritos?
I love it.
Wow.
And that's not like the breakfast burritos that you would owe me if I decided to sing.
No, that would probably fall into it.
No,
are you singing?
Would not.
Are you singing? Have you decided to sing?
I said if. It's a big if.
It's coming up. We're about an hour away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You better think about that.
Better warm the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm. College basketball is getting rolling next week. The UNC Bears starting things up. I don't know where if they'll be better than they were last year. They were really good last year, Mike. And obviously, they won a share of the Big Sky regular season championship with Montana. They don't really say that, though. They say we won it. And then they were a game away, a very close game against Montana last year in the Big Sky championship. Guys, names you need to think about for UNC. And there's a couple of obvious dudes on this list. And one of them is a guy that we sit down with every single Monday. And that's Brock Wisney. He's really good. And I'm going to do this about CSU as well, because I'm excited for Ali Faroukmanesh and what he's doing. But for UNC specifically, names to look out for. Brock Wisney's been a stud for this team. He's only gotten better. Quinn Danker is a heck of a player, excellent personality. We had him on the show on Monday, Michael. He's taken over kind of more as primarily the point guard now. And from what I heard from my birdies out there that during this, and this is not from Smiley, this is not from CSU or anybody, but I've heard that Quinn Danker is going to be even better than last year. Even better. That's what I'm hearing.
You heard it from me.
I heard it from you, yeah. And there was a secret scrimmage, and I'm told that he lit it up. Now, I don't have the stats for the Wyoming game was an exhibition game. That wasn't a secret scrimmage, but there was a secret scrimmage that the Bears were a part of. And I'm told Quinn Danker looked really good. And then Zach Block. Zach is a defensive specialist, but Coach Smiley talking to us about you know, hey, watch out for his offensive game this year. So those are the three, like those are the Bears' big three to look out for. But new guys like Ring Neary, Ibu Yamazaki, who was playing in Japan a lot over the summer, and they were the team he was on just kept winning and they kept advancing. Can't remember the league he's in, but he didn't get to join the team until like their trip that they took. He like joined them while they were on their trip. But he's somebody to look out for. Arik Moyen is another big name. We got a chance. Derbs and I went out to practice over the summer, and he stood out. 6'4", 185-pound guard. He's good. I'm just ready to get the season started.
Isn't there a Swedish guy?
There is a Swedish guy.
I would like him to come on the show on Monday.
He is William Humer. That's Will Humer, and he's another one to watch out for.
That guy's funny.
He's very good.
I would like to talk to him and see if he likes.
How do you know he's funny?
Death metal.
Have you talked to him? No, Brock told us he doesn't like that stuff.
You never know. Most people would think, oh, Micah doesn't like Motown.
No, I don't know. I don't think people have an idea of who you are. I don't think people try to predict what you're into. How do you know Humor's funny?
Isn't his last name Humer?
Yeah. Is that what you were doing? I thought you actually met the guy. You did not meet him. That was just a dumb thing that you did.
Yes, okay. It was.
Thank
it
you.
It was very dumb. But
took
I
me a while to catch
on
that. That one took me a while to catch. When you said, yeah, I like this guy. He's funny. And then okay. Yeah. But the Bears play on Monday night. I have tickets for that game, I believe. I'm going to go check. But men's basketball, 7:30 Monday night against Colorado College. And then Friday night they play Colorado Christian. And Coach Smiley cautions everybody, says, come out to that game. It is not a throwaway game. Colorado Christian was beating Weber State at the very end of this game. And I think Weber ended up winning 66-63, but it was like 63-61 Colorado Christian at one point.
Are you sure you're not saying Weber State?
Weber State.
Like, this is the Weber State that UNC hadn't beaten in years,
right?
And then a few years ago.
And they're not,
the streak.
They're not, like, going to be great this year, according to the preseason rankings and such, but it's still.
This is still this Big Sky Weber State.
Yeah, Big Sky Weber State. Yes, correct. Smiley pointed that out to us on the podcast today.
Oh, dear.
We went through and looked at the score. So it was a tight game. So my advice, if you want to see some great local basketball, here's what I know. UNC basketball, there's going to be a player on this team that there's going to be several players on this team that are playing professional basketball. I don't know if it's NBA or overseas. There's going to be a player on this team that is going to get national attention. And again, I don't know who that's going to be, but that is Steve Smiley's MO. That's what he does. He goes and finds dudes that you've never heard of, and then they become big-time players. I'm talking about like Dalton Connect. Dalen Kuntz was a phenomenal player. He was a throwaway in Boulder. St. Thomas, man. The guy ended up going to USC. And he was contemplating whether he even wanted to play basketball or not before he came to UNC. They helped him find his game, find his joy mentally in the game of basketball. So real coaches over there. An excellent staff. And Smiley's leading that thing. And man, it's an honor to do the two-man game podcast with him every week. So Bears starting off on Monday, 7:30 against Colorado College, 12:43 the time. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Broncos Texans game. This is the one right here. You know, sitting at 6-2, I kind of thought they would be around this record in a roundabout way. I believe so, Mike. I don't have my picks in front of me, but I thought I was saying 6-2. Get a lot of these wins early. because I think I had them beating the Colts, and then I think maybe losing to the Eagles. The Bengals game I changed on. I flipped. I did say they were going to win that even before Joe Burrow was out.
I think you said that they would lose to the Chargers.
I did say they would lose to the Chargers, and I think I said I flipped the Colts and the Eagles game. So we're good. 6-2. This feels, and I think I had them losing to Houston on the road. But now it's all refreshed now with what the information we have. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows it.
It's a huge game. Huge game for Denver and between Denver and Houston. 12:49 the time. We'll take a quick break here. We got buy or sell coming up in the final hour. And the Thursday night special. I don't know what Michael's coming up with. If he's coming up with anything, we'll find out. Stick with us. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Chris Abshire for Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Telling you fellows and ladies that if you are a collector, if you like sports memorabilia and sports cards and Legos and Funko Pops, all the cool things that both child and adult alike are collecting, you got to stop by Diamond Valley Collectibles. We got one here in our, so tired of having these stores like in Denver and not having one cool one here where we can go buy sports cards from guys that know, you know, the good packs to bring into their store and the real memorabilia. And that's what you're going to get at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Do me a favor. We're giving these $20 gift certificates away for Top Text Tuesday. You guys are doing awesome on that. Stop by and tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. That place needs to thrive. We need that place. If you're a sports fan, if you're a collector, we need that place to thrive. So Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Check them out online at diamondvalleycollectibles.com. All right, we got buy or sell coming up. Who needs to step up in Patrick Sertan's absence for Denver? We'll get into some of that. Also, the Thursday night special. Lamar Jackson is back. Is it going to be enough for a terrible defense against a Dolphins team that might be figuring it out? I don't know. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.